right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us, and we are delighted that so many people have been really blessed by the work that God is doing in and through us. And so we pray that you continue to follow up and allow him to use you as he see fit. For those who didn't get the message last week, it is online, Mission Update 2025, so you can get a clearer picture of what it is we are doing, because there's a methodology to what we are actually doing and applying. And so we'd like for you to be understand, so you'll know how you can dovetail with us. By the way, all the congregations are supposed to operate like that, not everyone do, but the point is that you can get this information and just use it to the best of your ability. So that's the idea behind it. Well, today I thought about speaking on the subject of the kingdom of God. And when the more I looked at it and I drilled down, you know, what is it going to be like and stuff like that, I thought, wait a minute now, let's do something before that. So this is going to be part one, the coming kingdom of God, and you know where we are now. And then, not next week, since Brother Thomas is going to be here next week, but the following week we'll talk about the kingdom of God. By the way, you know, I tend to put all this information together because we have a lot of people inquiring about the church and they want to know how to get information, so it's a lot easier just tell them go get the article and read up on it and so on. But we have quite a few like that, and that is the whole idea behind it. But I want us to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that when you think about it, ever since God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a lot has taken place. And I think it would be helpful if we drill down. So if there's somebody just now first coming in contact with the church, this you're here and there at the right time, because this is going to really take you from that, you know, where you should say, what do you call it, novice stage, all the way up to expert. You go through all of this. Now, there's a lot of scripture I have here, and you're going to have to drill down. In other words, read them for yourself. Why? Because when you read it, it does something to your mind, and that's how the Spirit of God quickens your mind so that it makes sense to you. Now, you're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, they just pay attention. Something just hit them, and they say, wait a minute, no. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, and it makes sense. Well, the Spirit of God does that. It's called quickening in the scriptures, at least the King James Version. And it quickens your mind. So if you, in fact, I know you ever listened to the very last sermon Herbert W. Armstrong gave. He said, if you read your Bible and listen when you read. Well, that jumped off at me when I heard him say that. Because that was my experience. It's like I heard a voice in my head say, hey, wait a minute, now, pick attention to this. So I understood exactly what he was talking about. Now, I've talked to other people since then, and they heard the same message, and they didn't understand what I was talking about. I am saying to you, the Spirit of God illuminate your mind when you look at certain words. That's why Jesus said, let who read understand. Now, there are a lot of people who can read, and they still don't understand. There are a lot of people who come to church, and they do not get anything. And there are others who just go right into the book, and it comes alive. Well, I'm saying to you now, ladies and gentlemen, we want us to drill down a little and get a little bit more information so that we can understand more clearly what God is doing. Because when you understand what he is doing, then it makes sense, and you'll see how you fit in the overall scheme of things, and then you can understand more about his plan. And sometimes, really, you know, I kind of start to laugh because I could see where he's going, and you can always pattern because he's very, very consistent. Very consistent. And I say, Lord, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Yeah, I started to joke with him, you know. And of course, that's exactly what he does. No, I talk to him like that, yes. And so what I'm saying is we're going to drill down and review how we got to where we are today, 2025. How did we get here? What happened since Adam and Eve was created and so on? So without the knowledge of our history, ladies and gentlemen, as they tell you time and time again, we are likely to repeat the mistakes of the past. Good to always know the history, and the idea is that you're going to learn from it. That's the whole idea behind it. So you know, you and I are kingdom bound. What's our destination? Our next stop is the kingdom of God. We are purposed to follow the Lord, because he has called us, and we are going to what? Be in the kingdom. No, I'm not teaching any loser who's going to be trying to go to hell. No. All of you are on your way to the kingdom if you listen to what I'm saying. And so what I'm saying now is that we're kingdom bound, and we will not be deterred. No enemy, no nothing. What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. And so the Bible then has all the necessary information that you and I need. So we need to explore it some more, don't we? All things that pertain to life and godliness has been given to us. You know, there are a lot of people still praying for the very things that God has already given us. That may be lack of poor teaching on, you know, the part of their teachers. But my point is that a lot of folks, they keep asking God for the very thing that he has already given them. Rather than utilize what he gave them, they're asking him for it. So we need to drill down a little further. In the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, I want us to go ahead and begin to see something that took place so we make sure we get our bearings right. Let's start from the beginning, the Genesis, the first thing. Genesis, you know, when they said the Genesis of whatever the operation is, we're talking about from the very beginning, right? So God did something, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. Continue creating. And verse 25 says, and God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creep upon the face of the earth, upon the earth, after its kind. And God saw that it was good. He wasn't through creating. Let's go on, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps up on the earth. You know, this gentleman out in Arkansas, he liked to make jokes. He said, you know, you got dominion over creeps, you know, because you have dominion over everything that creeps. But he's also playing word here, you know, and he's trying to get us to have a little humor as we drill down. But the point is this: God made man. It didn't take him too long, though, for him to mess up. It didn't take him too long. So what I'm saying, though, is that God created man. And what do you know? Pretty soon, his man and his wife, they listened to Satan, the devil, and they messed up. And shortly thereafter, they found that they were naked, and so they go into hiding. When people are complaining that God hides from us, we need to realize that we were the ones who started to hide first. That's what they did. They went into hiding. Adam, where are you? He went and hid, because he knew what he did was wrong. It's dawned on him then that he is out of place. And so you and I then need to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, that's how it actually got started. Now you can read some more about this, about Adam and Eve and their children, Cain and Abel, you know, and it goes on and so on. All right? You can go think it, but I just wanted to give us the overview of how it got started. He created man, and then, of course, you know, they had children and so on, and we still continue to have children on to this very day. Now, our next stop really goes into the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. Because what we find then, ladies and gentlemen, is that shortly thereafter, you know, they start to develop a system on the earth. I call it a worldly system. It came to pass, verse 1 of Genesis 6, when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that they, the sons of God, saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. God made a decision. That's how they're gonna do it. All right, I'm gonna call it off. I'm going to let them know, hey, listen, I'm the one who made you. And if I have to take you out, I will, which is exactly what he did, because he sent a flood and he just took them all out. Everything and everybody except Noah and his family. Now, you started this thing, and I've spent time to investigate and so on. It's the year 1650 after the creation of Adam. That's when they had the flood, 1650 years thereafter. All right, that's just a side note, something I just like to drill. I'm mathematically oriented, so I like to look at stuff like that. But anyway, what I'm saying, though, is that they start to disobey. They walk in Tingdom. He says, verse 2, And verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And he says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bore them children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, what do you mean by that? Every imagination, the general flow is to do evil, kind of like what it is today. And we're not really at that point yet, but we're heading there fast. Their general proclivity is to do evil. And so he says, he's writing this thing down, by the way, so it's in case people down the road say, all right, wait a minute now, Lord, why did you do all this thing? Why you take out all these people? And so he's going to explain, because you see, God now, he's not above you asking him these things. But he's a just God, and of course, he's going to execute just judgment. And so God saw that the wickedness, verse 5 again of Genesis 6, of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thought was of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him and his heart. Can we grieve God? Yes, we do. Can we do it today? Yes, we can. How many times does it have to tell us that we need to repent and turn from our ways, and we still keep doing things with this? Contrary to what he's explained. After a while, you're just not going to leave you alone. That's it. But the point here is that we can grieve. You remember what the scripture says? Grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you have been sealed. Well, don't want to grieve him. There was a man who was tougher than everybody else. Nobody could have beat him up. I mean, he was a tough guy. You kill 1,000 people one day with a jawbone of a donkey. But he grieved the Lord. And when you grieve him like that, especially at our stage now where we have access to his spirit, he's just not going to honor your prayers anymore. And you can pray all you want, but you won't get any. Once he turns his back, and he's not going to tell you. He doesn't leave and that's it. So Samson thought he could just go ahead, I'm going to shake myself like before. Well, guess what? They caught him and dig out his eyes because he did not do what was right. It's not that he didn't have access. His daddy used to pray and he could actually get angels to come back and respond to them. But no, he was a little arrogant. He was beside himself. And consequently, he ended up losing. And it wasn't until he lost his eyes that he really could see the Lord, spiritually speaking. But you get the idea. So what I am saying then is that we're looking at this and beginning to see how things are on the earth. We've got to be straightforward with each other and make sure we drill down, because this behavior, this system that they created, soon lead to an intolerable circumstances, and as a result, then God did what he just said, a flood. You know the story. He told them in chapter 7, build a flood and build an ark so that they could escape. They wouldn't, everybody wouldn't at least preserve some life. You can drill down and read that for yourself. But my point is that they built the ark. Now, there was something else when he was building the ark. Did you notice, by the way, let me just drill in the dots just for a minute. He told him to build the ark, and he said he must pitch it with, build, you shall pitch the ark with,
what's that stuff we call it? Rich pitch. And so in this fashion, which ye shall make, the length of it, the ark shall be, that's verse 15, 300 cubits to a breadth of it, and verse 16, a window shall you make, and verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood upon the face of the earth, verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, verse 14, let's see, yes, thank you, sir. And so the point here is that he was telling him to pitch the, yes, make an ark of gopher wood, that's right. And and shall go you, and you shall make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. Now, what is the purpose of the pitch? Today we would, all right, around here we talk a little different, but in places like Trinidad, when they say pitch, they are talking about asphalt. It's like what we call tar. They use it, by the way, to put on roofs to keep water from coming in. And so when they put the wood together, you know, it doesn't always seal totally. So you put that pitch there so as to make sure you seal it so the water will stay out. So think about that now. Here it is, he has to do all these things, even though they've never had rain like that on the earth. But he was following the instructions. That's one of the things you're going to learn now. If you're going to grow in faith, you're going to have to learn to follow instructions. And God is going to, he always give you. And by the way, if you're the type where you like to disobey him, then you, but what's that? Deja vu, when you come back to the same position again? Deja vu, that's right, thank you. And so, you know, he bring you back to the same position. So you're going to have to learn that lesson. He intended for you to learn it the first time around, but you're even hard-headed. And so after maybe 40 years, like the children of Israel, he bring you right back there, and you go learn. Didn't have to waste, spend all that time. The children, the spies went into the land and come back in 40 days, yet they wander in the wilderness 40 years. Why? Because of their disobedience. So what I am saying, though, is that they're going to follow instructions. And he told him, say, hey, pitch this thing in and out so that when the water come, it won't seep in. Of course, we know we're here, and therefore they, you know, they were preserved. But you get the idea. Now, the proclivity, though, of mankind continues to be evil. And so by the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, what do you know? He says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, verse 3 of 11, chapter 11. And they said one to another, let us make us brick and burn them and bring thoroughly, and then let us add slime, or switch it, what's the, yes, slime had they for mortar. And, you know, today we would say, cement. But when I was little, they would burn a certain kind of stone, and it looks like a white powder when they're finished, and they would use that to make cement. When I was little, it was real tough when they finished with it. I mean, real tough. But yeah, well, it should be, because it was actually a rock, but they put pile them up in a heap and they burn them. And that's what they used to use to get that cement type material, and you can mix it with a little dirt and so on. And I mean, that thing get hard, or, you know. But anyway, that's what similar thing that they were doing here. And they make a very big building. And make a long story short, God came down and said, wait a minute, this is what they do. Now, I'm taking time to emphasize something here. Because what happened is, this says in verse 7, go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. This is what the Lord is saying now, as him and the angels let him go down and take a look. And so the Lord scattered them abroad, hence, because when you're language, you can't talk, they just go in, you just disappear from one another, you know, since they do a blah, 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 blah. They don't understand what you're saying. And so that's what happened. They got scattered all over the place. But what happened was that the place was referred to as Babylon. Now, Babylon has a spiritual meaning, And that's what I want to get across to us from this part of the message. You know, they had this attitude where this is, that they found, and it's, let me see, I want to make sense. Let us build, verse 4 says, they said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we are scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, God had told them, go occupy the whole earth.
But they wanted us to dwell in the city, as they would call it, everybody piled up on top of one another. And by the way, a lot of communist countries tend to do that. They're not the only ones doing it, by the way. A lot of other nations are doing that now. See, more and more of that is happening in America. But the point was that that's not what God intended. He wanted people to occupy the land and to be, have the house so they can walk around it. But anyway, that's what they were saying. And they were actually in defiance of God, saying that we are not going to go out there and occupy. They said, let's build this tower, lest we are scattered. We want to stay together. By the way, there was this movement, I don't know if they stopped now, but they're in America, where they want people to let the land be free and let the people stay in the city. And there used to be, just some 4 or 5 years ago, where they're having all these people complaining about cutting down trees. We need the trees for lumber. They're going to grow back, but some people didn't like it that way. And as a result, they pushed up the price of lumber and stuff like that. It's not that you know, all the different things that cost so much. It's just that the bottom line is that they made that type of decision. It was the same thing here. This kind of rebellion against God. And so when you hear about the term Babylonian system, it means rebellion against the authority of God. All right? So that was the gist of it. I want us to begin to see how mankind do it. They've always been what? Creating a what? A Babylonian type of system. So when you go into the book of Revelation now and talk about the Babylon of today, they're talking about a spiritual system that is rebelling against the authority of God. They don't want to embrace the word of God. All right, let's take it a step further, because we need to know a little bit more about our times and how we got here. Now, in Genesis, the 12th chapter, God, you know, he never gives up. And so he's going to do something about it. What did he say in verse 1? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show you.
In other words, get away from your family and everybody around you, because these people are nothing but pagans. I don't know if he used those words, but that's what they were. They wouldn't behave themselves. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, same book, Genesis 11, and look at it, you see Shem. I just did the other day again, and we did it so many times before, but Shem, all the generations from Shem on to Abraham, 10 generations. You know Shem outlived Abraham? Shem, who was in the flood, he lived 600 years. He outlived Abraham. Abraham was born in the year 289 after the flood. He lived for 175 years. If you notice, the years start to diminish shortly after the flood. People don't live that long anymore. But my point is that here it is. We're seeing these things as God's trying to, you know, share information with us about how he's dealing with mankind. So here it is, Abraham now in chapter, because we all hear about Abraham and everybody, we're going to read a little bit more. But Abraham, the Lord said unto him, he said, get you out of thy kindred and from your family and leave, and I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I'll curse him that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed.
What an offer.
Look at what it says in verse 4. So Abraham departed, not a word from him. He just left.
God said, do so and so, and he left. Listen, let me tell you something. Always try, every time the Lord speaks to you,
move immediately. Make a covenant with yourself that anytime you hear the Lord, you want to make sure it's Him. The moment He said, do whatever it is, go. You don't realize the blessings that's going to fall upon you when you develop that attitude. It's amazing. But anyway, that's what he did. And of course, you know the rest of the story about Abraham and so on. And the point is that God blessed him immensely. And he was the father of the faithful. Where are you going? Wherever God sent me. And that's what he did. His family, I'm sure, were upset. But the point is that, you know, they weren't doing right. And so God wanted to separate him from them. And that's exactly what he did. All right, let's take a little step further, ladies and gentlemen. Because it wasn't too long thereafter that the children of Israel, you know, they went back again. You know the story. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had all these kids, and then he became a prankster and a trickster, and he robbed his brother of the birthright. He didn't have the wisdom to wait so that God could give it to him in an honorable way. He stole it. He was going to get it, but he stole it. And as a result, he ended up having to flee, run away, and he run to his uncle, which turned out to be a bigger gangster than him. And so, you know, by the way, tricksters nowadays tend to run into that kind of trouble. God always caused them to run into somebody who is a bigger trickster than them. And so anyway, that's what happened. And so he pulled all kind of stunt with Jacob. And it wasn't because God was with him while he survived. But anyway, make a long story short, his children act up, and so it wasn't too long before they end up in Egypt. There was a famine in the land, and they end up down there, and they were there for a while. So God allowed that to happen. Why? He's teaching us something. This was an enslaved people that he's redeeming, just like how you and I have been enslaved to this world, and he is redeeming us. And so he redeemed them. And of course, you know the story. He sent Moses down there later on in chapter 12 of Exodus to go rescue these people and to lead them out. After a while, God decided, hey, listen, I am going to send Moses down there and, you know, rescue them. So in chapter 12 of Exodus, he said, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Hey, pay attention now. What did he say? He said, this is the first month of the year. The beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So if anybody had any doubt before, God knew which one was the first, and here he told them exactly what it is. Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the house is too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the people. In other words, get enough because you want them to eat. What are they going to take part of? What they call the Passover, which we now have as a ritual in our performance and the way we worship God. We still call it the Passover. And of course they went through the ritual and so on. You can read the rest of the story, but I want just to begin to see exactly how God was working with them, and he was laying some things out. He was methodical in what he is doing. And so make a long story short, he went and he rescued those people. Now he carried them out into the, well, I guess you might say, into the wilderness, into the middle of nowhere. And he's going to test them. Not so that he can know, but so that they can know what is in their heart. And because he knows all things. And sometimes he have to allow us to some, what I call, bump your head up against the wall. Because some people are a little stubborn, you know. They don't really want to follow instructions. I mean, it would be a lot easier if they listen. And things would have been so much smoother, so much easier for them. But they don't know. Anybody going to tell me anything? I ain't going to have to listen to nobody. I don't have to listen to. And so they got themselves into trouble. And down the road, they start to cry and want to know, well, why all these things happen? You should have listened. He's always sending people to try to wake us up, but sometimes we're just too stubborn. In Genesis, in Exodus 19, verse 7, it says, Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. Now, notice this now. He's calling for the elders of the people. All right? And so, I'm showing you now, they have some kind of organization. That's the gist I'm trying to share with you. Verse 8 says, And the people answered and together and said, all that the Lord have said, we will do. Whatever God tell them, we will do it. In other words, they are agreeing to it. Whatever it is, and Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
They come to him, you know, Moses tell them, and they say, listen, you listen to him. We can't take it. But you go talk to him for us, and anything he said, we're going to do it. We're right there with him. Of course, these are the very same people who quickly turn out of the way. People tend to do that nowadays. They're weak. That is why we need the power of the Spirit to make sure we do what is right. How do you get it? Again, repent and be baptized, and then for you to start to grow, you have to apply the word. All right? And so what I'm trying to share is that they made that agreement that whatever he says, they will do. Now, we summarized some things which I talked about briefly last week. Exodus chapter 20.
The God spoke, verse 1, God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And he gave them is what we call the Ten Commandments.
And what did I say we should do last week with that information? We should make a copy of it. Put it on our wall, whether you laminate it, however you do it, make a copy, put it on your wall. And, you know, in other words, try to memorize it so that you get it in your spirit. That's the whole idea. It's two principles, love for God, love for mankind. And that's it. You find a generation now that really don't understand the Ten Commandments or what it means. That's why you have so much adultery and so on. People just don't pay attention to the word of God anymore. It is not that significant to them. It should be. Down the road, they're going to find that, is, you know, we're really putting ourselves in a position where we're going to get a very good spanking because we're stubborn. Anyway, my point, though, is that he gave them his covenant, and they agreed. All that he said, we will do. Now, if you go to Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews the 9th chapter, and let's pick it up in verse, 1. Hebrews chapter 9. He said there was a first covenant, because what happened now is that when they got that information from him and they said, we're going to do it, that was their covenant. They only had a covenant at that time. Well, now we're going to get a different one in the New Testament, or on, you know, what we call in modern times, after Jesus died. And so we call that the New Covenant. Well, they're making reference to it now, and I'm touching on the scripture so you can see the continuity. Verse 1 of Hebrews 9 said, verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine services and a worldly sanctuary. So they had a system in places, and they had sanctuary and little rituals and stuff that goes along with it. That's how it was. That was the first covenant. For there was a tabernacle made, the first whereunto was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. You hear us talk about that before. And verse 4 says, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, whereon was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. In other words, the copy of the actual covenant that God had written with his hand on it. They had it in that little box, like the almost like this. For those who are listening online, I'm pointing to a box that we made several years ago, and, you know, to represent the ark. And inside of it were those things, the Aaron rod that bud, and the copy of the covenant, and they also had the some of the manna. But you get the idea. And so what I'm trying to share then is that they had a system, and that was the old covenant. So I want us to make sure, you can read the rest, and over it lay the cherubims of the glory, shadowing the mercy seat. Now, what was that? On top of it were two cherubims.
They are, I guess, I don't know if you pronounce it that way. Some might say cherubims, but the point is that they were two angels. They had wings. Their wings touch each other. What do they represent? They represent the angels to minister to the Lord, and when he say do so and so, they do it immediately, like Gabriel and so on and Michael. So they were there. In the middle of that, when Moses go inside the tabernacle, only Moses, nobody else, when he go inside there and he talk with God, he would hear a voice coming from in front of it. Now, sometime God would manifest himself like a little smoke, it's like a cloud, and we call it the Shekinah glory. By the way, whenever it manifests in the presence of any congregation, doesn't matter who is there, they get healed. No matter what the issue is. It's very, very rare that it happens nowadays, but he does it from time to time. But during Moses' time, if they go inside there, when Moses went inside there, he would just go on God, he just talked to the Lord, and he heard a voice coming from before it. That's how it was to work with him. The Lord said he spoke to him face to face. How does he talk to you and I now? Because he don't talk to everybody like that. Some people he talk through the word, some people he talk through other people, he don't talk directly to them. He gives us visions and dreams. Sometimes I'll just go lie down and I get up and it's just so clear. He said, wait a minute, this is what he said. I heard when he said it. Sometimes when I'm going over to Africa, I don't know how to explain it, but when I go over there, sometimes I'll just hear and I turn around and okay, that's what he said, do this, and I just do it. But my point is that he give you what he calls similitude, in other words, like an image. It looks almost like black and white television. I don't know how else to describe it, but it just works like that. And sometimes he deal like that with me. I don't know how he deal with everybody else, but that has been my experience. I'm just sharing that so you'll understand where I'm coming from. So my point though is that he'll talk with us like that. That is not a direct method. He chose not to. Now Moses, it was more direct, and they actually heard a voice. Can you hear a voice? I've heard people say that. Very few. Very not often, but very few. But some people have reputations to explain what they heard, and it was correct. So I'm saying to you now that he does that. Down the road, when times get really tough, is he going to talk to us like that again? Yes, so we're going to hear his voice. Could it be audible? It can be. In the year 70 AD, when they were about to destroy the temple in Jerusalem, it is recorded by the historian Josephus that they heard a loud voice in the top of the temple saying, get out of town! Get out of town, people! It's about to be destroyed. And folks, they left. When the army came to destroy the temple, there was nobody left. They did tear down the temple? Yes, they did. But they got protected. God talked to them. He might do that the same thing to us today. There was a place out in Indiana where they had some issue, 1997, I think it was. And everybody just seemed to hear something they were supposed to have. And by the way, this was a Sunday keeping church. They were supposed to have a choir rehearsal. Everybody heard a little voice say, don't bother to go to choir practice today. So nobody turned up. Something happened to the church and the whole thing exploded. So they run now and say, well, the choir is supposed to be there. Well, all the choir people that was coming to see what happened because they thought the other people had gone. Well, it turned out that they were all gathering on the outside looking. You know, they say, wait a minute now. We all here. And, you know, but he does things like that. All right. Now, let's press on, ladies and gentlemen, and just look at some more things. Because we have a new covenant, as I'm trying to point out. And so in chapter 7 and of Hebrews, in verse 22, he says, let's pick up verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this which an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's how God was talking about Jesus. He is a priest of the rank of Melchizedek. By so much more was Jesus made a surety of what? A better testament or a better covenant, you might say. And truly were more... truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. He is the guarantee, it says in another translation, a guarantee of a covenant which is better. Better than what? The one they had before. We, under the new covenant, have a better covenant than the one they had under the old, what the old covenant that they had. Now, think about how they used to just receive from the Lord, and yet they have an inferior covenant to us. How much more should we be willing then to receive from God? We get, it's better. I mean, if we can get better stuff, what good is it? I'm telling you that it is better, though, and so we can prove that in more detail at another time. But I just thought I'd just mention that. But something else happened now under the new covenant. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, the whole book really has a lot of information there, but I'm going to go to chapter 5 and just pick up a few verses to just help whet your appetite so that you can study this. Because if you go from 5 all the way through chapter 8, you begin to see a gold mine of information, because we truly are living under a new covenant which is better than the old. He said, therefore, verse 1 of Romans 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here it is now, he has justified us. How? By faith. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. In other words, when people come and try to do stuff to us, we don't get all upset. We don't give God thanks that we can endure this and just go on. You don't even think about it. You can handle it. All right, continue. Verse 4. And patience and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so he's given us his spirit then that we can get all this thing and enable us now. And he says shed abroad. In other words, we're going to demonstrate this by the application of the word. And so others will be able to see the effect. And that's what he means when he says shed abroad. You can read the rest in your own time. And, you know, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And he goes on to explain, scarcely for anybody, you know, what would die, but for us, Jesus died, and so on. But you get the idea. And you go right on. So therefore, in chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you get the idea. This, now we have a new system in place now where we are privileged to walk after the Spirit. Under the old covenant, they couldn't do that. A lot of those people that were alive back at that time, they're going to come back up in the second resurrection, and they're going to be given an opportunity. Why? Because they didn't have one before. Remember, who were the ones with the power? Who were the ones who were given the opportunity and the privilege to be in the kingdom? The priest, certain kings, not everybody, certain kings, the prophets. That's it. And so that is what he had made available. You know, you have a few other folks that he allowed the Spirit to come upon them, and all those going to be in the kingdom. But you get the idea, because no man, flesh and blood cannot inherit it, but they have to have access to the Spirit. So that's basically what happened. All right, so just thought I'd go ahead and answer that question just in case you have any questions about it. So now this new covenant then is what we call this church age, where you and I now are under a new system. We don't follow the rituals and go kill goats and stuff like that every year and so on. No, we don't do that. In fact, we don't do killing none at all. Jesus died once and for all, and that was it. So now we then accept what he has done, and it is put in our account. So now we have access to the Father. When you have access to him, what else does he do? I like to use his expression, so please take note of this. The bank of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When you go to a job, they give you, emails and so on. They give you an account and stuff like that. Give you a phone. Well, it is in your name. They give you your own email address and so on. Well, when you come to the Lord, he gives you your own spiritual bank account. And when you go to him, the moment you ask, it is transferred into your account immediately. Now, most people don't know how to receive, which is part of what you were talking about in the message earlier. But when we really understand the concept of receiving from the Lord, and we understand that all his promises are yes and amen, according to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, then you realize no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So what's the issue? A lot of people just don't have the faith. That's basically what it is. So that's why I'm teaching this, so you begin to understand and just apply yourself even more. You can press forward into the other things of God. So here it is now. We are in the church age. And you know, what exactly are we to expect during this time? Well, I'm going to have a few scriptures here to help illuminate your path, your understanding. I have a few scriptures. It's a whole lot, but we're just going to look at a few. Because when we have this light now, light means the information, the understanding, right? We have this light of Jesus Christ, this light now that lives in us and allows us to live for Jesus. Because Paul said, the life now I live by this Son of God who is in me, right? And so I will be rewarded with an eternal life when Jesus comes. Now we have a token of it right now through the Spirit, but the full manifestation will come upon the return of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we have a lot of privilege extended to us during this time. And that's what I want to touch on now, so we begin to see. Because when you understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's a whole gold mine out there. People would just understand this. You know, you hear these people arguing on television about precious metals and stuff like that. Well, the real gold mine is in the Word of God. They're just not understanding that. That's where they need to look. They're going to look all over property and stuff like that. They have it. They're mistaken. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "That which we have, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." They said, this that was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, because it was manifested. Who was it? Jesus. Which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, and we touch him, of the word of life. That was Jesus. He was the word of life. For that life was manifest, and we have seen it. Now, what is that life he's talking about? Well, there are three words, really, that actually mean life in the Bible. You have one where people are living it up. They say, well, this is the life, you know, entertainment, that kind of stuff. And then you have what you call the natural life, where people are like, you breathe, you know, the breath of life. But there is another life that we talk about for that leads to eternal life. That life is, when we have that life in us now, that is the token which manifests and allow you to get healing. I mean, everything you have, you're really from him, you're talking about the supernatural. And it's going to empower you now to go right on into the kingdom. That is the kind of life that we're talking about. And the name escapes me now in English. It starts with, Lord help me. But the point is that this life... not Chloe. It's in one of my notes. And so that is what enables us now. That's what he's talking about. For that life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now let me stop pause right here and explain again. I am saying to you that this kind of life that he's talking about here is one that comes through the Spirit. And that is what manifests when you get healing, when you get translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, when you get when you repent and you're baptized and the impartation takes place and so on. That's the kind of life that he's talking about. Can somebody look up the word for me? Just keep, it's not Chloe. What's that? No. It's like Chloe. I forget the exact name. It escapes me now. I got it in my notes somewhere.
It's like Chloe.
Yes. What is it describing? He's describing this life, this kind of life. There is a name for it. Yes. We in English language use the same word. We use the same word. I used to preach on it so much, oh Lord help me. But it sounds almost like Chloe, I don't remember why. Greek. I just need to get it up. Zoe. That Zoe. Now, listen. If you really want to drill down. This we're getting a little deep now, but I want us to just focus on this for the rest of the message. This kind of life that he's talking about here, that which with, that life was manifested, that Zoe, Z-O-E, that life, we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, as was manifested unto us. Do you ever hear those folks talk about how they, the apostles, they wait until the power came upon them? And that Zoe, when they were imbued with that Zoe, I'm talking about this thing, it just, what does it feel? I don't know how to describe it except that you can't really. I don't feel the ground when it comes upon me. But my point is that your mind is so focused that whatever you pray for, you just know it's going to come. I wish I had other words to describe it. But that's what he's talking about here. And this is what is available to us now. Now, how do you get this? Well, you have to pray and stay in his presence. You have to stay in his presence. In Isaiah, there's in just one verse, but I'm going to touch on it. See, because I was going to stop right there, but let me just go ahead and show you what I'm talking about, because it's going to happen in the kingdom when he comes back and set up the kingdom, chapter 4. And he says, the Lord shall create upon every, verse 5, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. The Lord shall create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon every and upon her assemblies, in other words, upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. There's going to be like the Shekinah glory, and remember the children of Israel, they had a cloud over them, following them and so on. Alright, when you have it happens very rare, but I hear people talk about the revival, and over the people can see it looks almost like fire, except that it doesn't burn up. That glory manifests like that. Well, this is going to happen when Jesus returns. It's going to be all upon all the assemblies when we go to any church during that time. When that happens, nobody who comes there is going to leave sick. Whatever the issue is, going to be solved. And so that's the life I was talking about. And so he says, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the east, and for a place of refuge, and for a cover from storm and from rain. In other words, it's going to be like, canopy. That's what it's going to be like. And once you get under it, you're fine. You're just protected. By the way, when they established the first temple, in fact, let's go to it, First Chronicles chapter 7. When it happened, the first temple, let's see, because what happened is that chapter 7 and what happened is that the temple, okay, two pillars, so you made before the house two pillars in chapter 7, and so we're going to see, and no, verse chapter 7, Second Chronicles, I hope I told you the correct one, Second Chronicles chapter 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The Hebrew word is kavod, and it looks almost like a smoke, and it fills the house, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Everyone I've ever talked to who have been in this situation says they have pushed hard trying to, because they want to see more. They just couldn't move. They just couldn't move. And so what I'm trying to convey, because this, you know, we're talking about serious problem. One of these days it's going to happen here. But I'm just saying, because I remember asking the Lord about some of these things, and all right, let me just mention it. Some years ago, I was, say it again, please. Oh, I thought he said something. Some years ago, I'd asked the Lord to show me how they did this thing. What happened to certain people? And the very next day, there was a VHS. We used to have VHS cassette. A VHS cassette came in the mail, addressed to me, from Oral Roberts Ministries. I did not make a request to it. The cassette was just there, and it started telling about how he got started and answer all these things they had on it. And I think I lent it to somebody, and I never did get it back. I've searched online, I see some excerpts from it from when he started out early, but my point is that the glory manifests just like that. Just like this you see right here. Just like this. I'm saying this to say all this now is a part of what you and I are going to, have available to us during this time until Jesus comes back. The book of Revelation chapter 1 tells you, you know, but in fact chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, tells us that John was in the spirit. He said, blessed is he that read, and then he started to tell him, now, you know, must write these things unto his servants, things that must shortly come to pass. And you go all the way now to chapter 20, and then you begin to see now that here it is now, the kingdom of God is going to be established, and we are going to be in the kingdom, verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4 of book of Revelation. I'm saying that to say, ladies and gentlemen, as I conclude, that these are what is available to the church now. A lot of people just don't, you know, some folks are just contented with, well, I'll go to church once in a while and eat and communicate and so on. Not everybody pressed through to this type of anointing. But it is not that it's not available. It's just that we just need to pursue it. So a brief summary then, a brief overview is what we have just covered, and I want to encourage you to read all of these related scriptures, to read more and saturate your mind with the promises of God, and above all, be blessed. And of course, I have a PS here, let you know that there's a document called The Kingdom of God. If you'd like to know more about it, what it will be like, what it contains, then you will be able to see that, and I think I have it up on the website. I'm going to double check. If not, I'm going to upload it. But I'm just trying to share it, let you know that all these things are available this side of the kingdom. And of course, in the next message, 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about the kingdom of God and all the different promises that God has given in his word, and what he's going to, give and make all mankind's going to enjoy, and so on. Thank you so much for listening.